And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. Yes, this is your business and economic zone for today's session. And that being this Wednesday night, or this Wednesday late afternoon, in terms of sunlight hours, just keeping it on the sunlight hours scenario. But we've progressed, or we've moved on from our central bank digital currency discussion that ended off last night, in terms of getting to grips with whether or not this is direct competition by central banks. It's a key thing to note. In plain and speaking words, or plain and speaking terminology, yes, it is a direct answer to the cryptocurrencies. However, we get into another economical discussion, or one based upon economic performance of Namibia. But I'll actually start with a little bit of a background for this tonight's session. Now, recently, an analysis about Namibia's trade statistics for the month of October was released in this week from a specific investment house. And they noted that there are signs of a slowdown in trade activity across the world. And this is based upon various indices and trade trackers, for example, like Bloomberg Trade Tracker. Bloomberg, yes, the organization owned by the billionaire Michael Bloomberg, who also has his own news outlet. This is specifically in the context of shifting consumer spending towards services away from merchandise goods has led to a decline in factory orders. So what does this mean to you? What does this explain to you? Globally, there is some sort of a decline in manufacturing, i.e. goods being manufactured, and thus more spending from consumer markets on services products, or service products, or products that are purely services. So what does this mean? Going to a spa, going to a restaurant, going on holiday, what else? But anything that is not essentially a physical product that was manufactured or that has component parts that needs the manufacturing process to take place in it. Essentially. Now, against that backdrop, I'll stitch in something else that I also watched last night in terms of, just staying up to date in terms of various economic activities happening both internationally, then regionally, then locally, is two things. Firstly, within the SADC or Central African Zone, there is some sort of a peace process going on in the DRC, i.e. leading potentially to trying to resolve one of the many, problematic areas of the continent. So essentially, this could play in the favor of the Africa Free Trade Agreement, then, having the opportunity to be adopted across the continent-wide. Then, leading into the SADC region, well, the DRC is in the SADC region, but leading more specifically into the South Africa, in terms of some news highlights that I saw last night, is that South Africa has enjoyed, according to this, to their reserve bank, which is their central bank, the South African Reserve Bank, that the South African economy has grown by 1.8%. This is a positive. I.e. it will provide positive sentiment in terms of the foreign exchange markets because of the South African rand, as our Namibian dollar being pegged to the South African rand, i.e. that it provides one or other form of gain against the international currencies that it gets compared to. 1.8% does not sound like much. But 1.8% is better than no percentage point or zero growth at that point. Now, understanding under the very difficult time period in terms of how South Africa has had to perform. And remember that the year of 2022 is not done yet, meaning they still need to analyze the last 3 months in terms of what the last 3 months of this year, i.e. the fourth quarter, has contributed to that 1.8% growth. Now, still on top of that scenario is that even South Africa's manufacturing sector has performed very well. Now remember, this is against the backdrop of what I just opened up with in terms of global manufacturing seeing a decline. Now if you know why global manufacturing is seeing a decline, it's because that is still being hemorrhaged, it is still being pressurized, it is still being put under pressure, not just from the Ukraine conflict, still with the trade war between the US and China, still with the threat that China poses to the country of Taiwan. That is a matter of whichever perspective you wish to take, whether you feel Taiwan as a country or not. I am not involved in that scenario, ultimately, because that is a playing field that does not impact Namibia directly. Nor does it even impact South Africa. The reason why I say this is because South Africa and Namibia has direct bilateral relations with China. We already have it. In terms of understanding whether we have anything with Taiwan, it's up to anyone's guess. Now the second, well not the second thing, the additional perspective, a point that you can then further add on in terms of why the trade statistics so far for October 2022 has a decline. And remember, this is October. We are in this is Namibia's trade statistics of October. We are in December. So you just gotta keep that in mind. Keep that in context for the month of October. But also understand the other developments that we've reported on here on Eagle FM that has taken place prior to October. Now, also understand that there is still the intermittent as well as also very, if I can say, well, the ever-present, let me say the ever-present supply chain constrictions across the world. It's still there. And then you still obviously have China's zero COVID policy that is impacting or contributing actively towards that supply chain constriction. Again, we don't see it as much here in Namibia because most of our goods that are manufactured, that are being produced, that are canned, tinned, stuff like that, comes from South Africa. Or some of the services and things that we can produce here don't ultimately meet such restrictions or, you know, are met with such limitations. We don't. Not even what we export to China, which is predominantly uranium, and which is now and another mineral that has now formed part of everything, this being the lithium. Not even that gets restricted or constricted. I.e. that it cannot be shipped out. Now, understand in this scenario, in terms of the trade statistics in South Africa predominantly, is that South Africa, and remember, this is the South African Reserve Bank, so they work as close as possible with regards to the information at their disposal, meaning it's virtually, I think, up until last week or the week before, that this indication or this feed or this report was released into the South African media. And remember, this was only spoken about yesterday. So the South African economy for 2022 has grown by 1.8%. 1.8%. Now, this sticks true to the economic outlook that the OECD, that international body, has had for South Africa in terms of they forecast at 1.7%. Obviously, this speaks towards 1.8% beating that estimate. Now, it gets to feed in to the discussion that leads in for us here. And this is a discussion in terms of Namibia's ability to try and enact one or other form of economic recovery. Why do I say this? Well, the key thing here is that we've got to look at a scenario of starting things off or getting the ball rolling. But saying getting the ball rolling means that we've never tried to get the ball rolling from this onset, from day one of Namibia's independence, which is a major untruth even to speak. A major one. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this is bringing us full circle into the main discussion point that I'm going to focus on heading into the rest of tonight's program. And this is based upon an article that my colleague Inomenua Erastus wrote in last night's or today's edition. Actually last night, but it's meant for today. Edition of the week of the Villager e-paper. What do I mean by that is on page 4, the article's name is Expensive Money and Risk Aversion is Casting Shadows on Recovery. Now take into consideration that there's the scenario of continued pressurization on the global manufacturing processes. So you start out large, then you focus in a little bit smaller. You come into SADC and concentrate on South Africa. South Africa just recorded a big GDP surprise, i.e. a form of the economy having grown by 1.8%. Right? Then, obviously, that provides positive sentiment for international investors and local South African, not us, investors in South Africa, having positive sentiment about the prospects of production and being able to do business in that country, i.e. it boosts the rand's performance. The rand then ultimately knocks on that boost onto us because we are pegged. So things look positive in a light there. And as I mentioned, all the South African sectors have recorded just green numbers, meaning positives, from agriculture to hospitality. Now remember, hospitality, tourism, catering, and there's another one that they put in that same category. They all form part of like their service, some of their services sector. Mining, also a positive. As I mentioned, agriculture firstly already. And then there was a fourth one. I keep forgetting that fourth one, but there was a fourth one that also recorded a very positive performance for 2022 so far. Now you see what's going on there. And then you come to Namibia. And then you look at the analysis that my colleague Inomenua, provided in last night's article of the Village e-paper in terms of expensive money, risky version, casting shadows. Now, what the expensive money component speaks of is last week's monetary policy increment. Well, the monetary policy announcement of an increment, further basis points increment in that scenario. So, and remember that the reason for the increment was based upon, matching up to inflation. Matching up to the inflation percentage. Now, I explained to you that the repo rate is or has to do with money being lended between the banks and the banks lending from the central bank. So it works in a nice little up and down, left, right direction. So the banks lend from each other from this specific rate, this interest rate, and they lend from the central bank. It works like that. It looks like a little triangle, but it works in that scenario. And I mentioned to you last week that obviously this makes things a little bit difficult because it makes what you borrow a little bit more expensive. So this means the money that businesses potentially would want to access in terms of either overdrafts, either, you know, credit extensions, becomes just that little bit more pricier, becomes just that little bit more expensive. Even if you're an MSME, because in the article it is even spoken about SMEs, it will make it difficult for an SME to try and pay back even a loan. I'll read you an excerpt from the article. An economic lecturer at NUST, Eden Shipanga, weighed in that we are, and this is in inverted commas, we are living on the edge of despair, where desperate times require desperate measures and strategic positioning. End of quote. Hence, individuals are scavenging all sorts of business ideas, starting up SMEs in their desperation for economic survival, which is creating a high demand for credit despite the high interest rates. Another excerpt from the article also notes that there is a whole sentiment change in terms of that commercial banks who are the mechanisms meant to drive economic recovery, or the machinations of the economy, whether from grassroots level, i.e. from the household level, or whether from the other grassroots level, i.e. from MSME level, in terms of getting money flowing throughout the economy. That there has been a perception change. It's not my words, guys. It's in the article. It says, at the same time, the commercial banks have been instrumental in funding the economy through loans and overdrafts. The commercial banks have adopted a conservative approach in their lending, showing a sign of risk aversion, i.e., the central banks are seeing that there's a presence of risk in the financial market. This means it becomes even that more difficult to obtain loans. And if it becomes that more difficult to obtain loans, it becomes that more difficult to come with a business idea to a commercial bank. Now, I'll share with you a little bit of sadness. Because the other article that I wrote for last night's edition, the one based upon the promise or the fork of the projection of 600,000 jobs for the Namibian market through the green hydrogen project itself. So yes, 600,000 jobs, guys. I know, it's too much. It's too big. I've never heard of something like that for one industry or one sector. I've never heard of anything like that. That alone is not going to be in the short term being the next 6 months, nor the next 9 months even. Making it medium, short to medium term even. You don't see that materializing quickly. The second scenario also, we've seen the recent signatures, especially the one of the German Vice Chancellor, who's also the Minister of Economic Affairs and Climate Action, Robert Habeck, here on Monday at State House. Even though it signals to start the whole that green hydrogen project itself, you know, starting off things directly, the money is not going into overall economic recovery or overall economic, you know, I almost said adrenaline, economic, you know, working as a catalyst to spur up the process for economic growth in the economy. It's not there. It's not like that. Because it will only be contained specifically in one sector of the country. Now, I've got a quick ad creeping up on me for at the top of the hour of 7 o'clock. The key thing you've got to look at there is, in a manner, the Namibian economic picture is functioning fragmented, meaning they're not joined. There's no linkage, there's no connection. There is connection, but the connection isn't in terms of everyone benefiting. But we'll come back right after this break.
Whether you're a fat cookie or a potaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Now we come back from our quick break. And before the break, I mentioned to you that the way things currently look now is that you see fragmented operation of our economy. What do I mean by fragmented? Well, you hear about job losses, shrinkages in specific sectors of the economy, or you hear about just one key segment operating. However, the upliftment scenario is not permeating through the entire Namibian house. Pun intended. The pun intended, everyone. Now, what am I talking about? First and foremost, we still have indications of specific sectors in the private sector of the economy struggling on their knees. On the other side of the private sector, then you have flourishing sectors. Flourishing sectors. Then, leading on to that scenario, you see new markets being opened up for one side of the agricultural sector. Next onto that is then you hear of another form of, let's say, the service sector potentially stagnating, standing still, not being able to grow anywhere very quickly. Then you flow, and I'm still in the private sector. Then you flow in, or let me say you rather go on the street level. And here's the worst part things. Just giving you a little bit of an indication. The article that I wrote, the one about the 600,000 jobs, the projection of expected 600,000 jobs to be created by 2040 from the Green Hydrogen Project, I was trying to look for some other indication somewhere of Namibia's unemployment statistic. What is it? Belief out there, and I mean out there, this is like informal discussions that are not on record, anything like that, you know, just having discussions with people. The belief out there is that Namibia stands on 50%. Now, there is no official statistic. Let me also indicate it to you like that. There is no official statistic as of today, 7 December 2022, what Namibia's actual, real unemployment statistic is. Die rechte statistiek. The real statistic. There is no such indication. Nowhere. You Google search it, you get just the worst, most understood scenarios of where it stands. I'll give you an example. Quick Google search, hoping in some way that Namibia was in some form providing statistics even to the World Bank or the IMF in some form or manner. They stand there on an indication of 23%, which is impossible to be 23%. However, if you Google search Namibia's youth unemployment statistic, it stands at a staggering 46%. So how do you have 46% in the youth unemployment statistic, but you have this major contradiction of 23%? How? How is this possible? If there is approximately almost a 50 to 60% of Namibia's population is people between 35 to 15. It's a lot of people. Well, it could be even less, sorry. It could probably be 50%. But still. Still. And Namibia's, and according to on Namibia's standards, the youth is up and until 45. Considering the youth is up to the age of 45. Now try to picture that. Try to assemble that picture in your own understanding, in your own way. Then try to understand how is it that you have an overall unemployment rate of 23% overall. However, youth unemployment is at 46%. Then the worst case scenario is, you know, you have to rely on what is officially there as per the government statistics. Relying on the labor force survey of 2018, saw in 2018, at a population size of 2.4 million Namibians, remember, we now are suspecting and assuming that Namibia is already at 2.5. So 2018 was a 2.4. Unemployment overall was at 33%, which is still sketchy itself. Because the youth unemployment in that survey itself also was at 46%. And you can find the labor force survey on the Namibia Statistics Agency's website. Labor force survey of 2018. You can find it. It's pretty easy. Even I'll make it easier for you. Go through the summarized report, not through the full report. The full report just lays out all the statistics, all the numbers, breaking out everything for you in detail. The summarized one is just making it shorter, condenser for you as an easy read. Now, key to point out there is that there is is it 700,000? Or is it 1 million people? It's between 700,000 and 1 million people of that labor force survey of 2018 that were employed. 1 million people were employed. 1 million of the 2018. It could be 1 point something, but it's 1 million. Let's stick to the 1 million for now. I'll just round it down. 1 million people that were employed. Now, a lot happened between 2018 and 2022. A good 4 years. Good 4 years. That's a presidential term. It's a presidential term. Good 4 years. A lot of stuff happened between 2018 and today. Now, obviously, that shows to you the headache that a journalist that wants to, like me, that wants to base, part of their reporting on facts that come from official sources. But then if the official sources do not have up-to-date data and information, you are lagging. I.e., that makes the whole picture somewhat not so true. And that's from a completely objective perspective. It's completely objective. Even though it signals out, it points out to you the subjectivity that I am subject to. Because I have to rely on the statistics. The statistics guides our discussions here on the Business and Economic Zone. The statistics, or the official statistical outlets, also guide the various economic analyses that colleagues like Inomenwa Erastus, as well as myself, have to go by, have to base our reporting on. This is not like speaking to, let's for example say, crime reports, speaking to the family of a victim, you know, in terms of trying to understand what the victim was like. No. There are hubs of expertise that provide the analysis, and they give you an insight into what the situation looks like. Purely subjective from each perspective. Also based upon a level of subjectivity, because we're human. It's almost impossible to be completely objective. Now, bringing you back full circle. If you've got to understand, and that's now you looking at some of the articles, for example, like in last night's edition, which gives you almost like five faces of the Namibian economy. I say five faces, and imagine it in the sense of like having five actors, five emotional masks. One smiling, one crying, one angry, one emotionless, not indicating anything. And let's, for example, say one that is confused. Obviously, this goes from the article that I wrote, the green hydrogen, the jobs projection for the green hydrogen, then the GIPF retirement story, as well as then getting into this, the lending ability. Making loans more expensive in order to direct or drive some form of economic recovery or economic growth. Let me stay on growth. Let me use the phrase growth. Now, the reason in terms of, And this is one of the core concerns that I was actually afraid of as well when I even spoke about the repo rate in last week. And even as some of you, the listeners out there, called in to ask, now listen, Dwight, does this make the loans more expensive? Even overdrafts? Yes, it does. If it looks like a loan, if it looks like a credit facility, then it is going to be impacted. That means, in essence, it's all about protecting their profit margins. And before you get on any kind of revolutionary or radical horse that sounds anything to like trying to nationalize the private banks, hold your horses. Stop that lorry just there. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Because it is a business. It is a private business. What is already within the possession of the state is the central bank. So policy is driven through the central bank to the commercial banks, and the commercial banks back towards the central bank. If you have not seen it, now you see it. Now, understand, the banks in the next 3 to 6 to 7 to 9 months.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no Wushive Faguja. Umanjirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka enderina pa ifi urikode paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ile ugufe o health and social science. Osho maifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na atai monika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies. Adishota di monika. Uerere otau monika ko website. www.ium.edu.na. Ile utarere po embiroa da IUM. Tikulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nkuru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae, utadi monika. Wele rutu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, ome waveri hamano, inda komesho, kufe tokorori rimonjira, toiko mbona kui waini rao, pamwena IUM.
Thank you, darling.
Huh? What did I do now?
Thank you for getting circumcised. You went through a little pain to help prevent my chances of getting cervical cancer. That takes a special person.
I'm the kind of guy that likes to protect my family and myself. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729 or visit us on Facebook at VMMC Namibia.
Now, just where I left off before the break crept up on me is the notion of the commercial banks. What's going to happen is potentially you've got to observe, you've got to be aware of the next 3, 6 to 9 month period. This means short to medium term. Is there going to be another repo rate? And if you go now onto the central bank's website, you can find the monetary policy announcements there. They're all there. The documents under the publications tab. You'll find them all there. You will see the announcement is based upon, well, obviously, first off, the first observation is based upon if the South African economy makes an adjustment to their repo rate, you can expect a quick fire just in a quick 2 days, 3 days. You can expect one from our side. The second thing that you've got to look at is what was the reasoning based upon? Is it within the SADC zone? Is it within the continent? Or is this the international pressures on the financial markets globally? What do I mean by financial markets? Where the trading takes place, and i.e., you know, where money needs to flow to. Now, I know last week, one of the regular callers asked in terms of, you know, what needs to be done to uncouple or decouple from the South African rand, to, you know, uncouple the Namibian dollar from the South African rand. I'll actually, just, you know, for your information's sake, throw back the lovely statement that you love using every time. Is the unless Namibia starts producing toothpicks and underwear, we will then be able to uncouple. The mechanism, the mode, the template that exists in the world for a country to have its clear, set, and defining destiny, its own economic destiny. I ask you now, out of all the pressures for the past 12 months, that a country like India was placed under, India was resilient. India is connected both to the American economy, to the European economies, and even to the economies of the emerging and emerging markets in developing countries. Why? Because India makes its own stuff. India makes its own things. They make their own toothpicks. They make their own underwears. They make their own clothing. They've actually made their own clothing for thousands of years. Thousands of years. They make their own food. They were even willing to take up the space that Ukraine was going to leave at the beginning of the year with rice and grain harvests if they did not experience that phenomenal, or that weather phenomenon, the heat wave that hit them here in May. If they didn't experience that thing that spoiled almost 25 to 30% of the country's overall national harvest in India, they would have been able to have a surplus in supply. They would have been the go-to guy in the grain, in the international grain market. Not even the United States does that. They would have been the go-to guy. Now, I point that out to you. It's a BRICS nation. South Africa the same. South Africa the same. This is what is to the benefit of Namibia. We are just next door. So we stay coupled. Unless you do what Botswana did. You don't invest in education. You don't invest in healthcare. There are no capital projects for the next 10 years. You don't invest in anything major. You just save money. Unless you do what Botswana did. One of the reasons why the Pula is so valuable is because in the 1990s, Botswana went on a massive saving spree. They did not have major capital projects. Even though the Trans-Kalahari segment of that highway was built, which aims to connect Durban Port to Walvis Bay Port through Botswana, even though that thing was brought in, Botswana still saved money. If you're going to say, okay, now why doesn't Namibia do the same thing? But look at now the major developments, the MOUs we signed. And based upon the analyses, you know, from this morning's early morning scoop, if you guys listened to the session this morning, if you looked at the job creation component, because job creation cannot just work in isolation there on Cloud 9, it has to link up with Cloud 7 in terms of investments or FDIs, or in terms of research and development, or in terms of manufacturing sector being boosted somehow. It cannot just work there on its own. It cannot float there in isolation. No, it's impossible. So, what's the idea? The idea that I'm getting to is in order ever to make lending, borrowing cheaper between the commercial banks and the central bank, and that rate that gets transferred to us, the consumers. The only way to bring that rate down to a favorable position is if we produce things. And I'm not talking about going and scooping sand and then pulling out a uranium stone, or pulling out a diamond, or pulling out a piece of gold. No. Or pulling out fish out of the sea. No. No. It's if you generate a gold market in Namibia, whereby that gold piece of gold stone that's pulled out of the earth there at Ochihase, and the other one there in, is it Arandas, where QKR is, Navahap. Is that gold stone gets channeled back into some process like what resembles, you know, like the interview I had with the Namdia CEO in terms of where refining, polishing, things take place like that. Where Namibians can buy Namibian gold. Because there are Namibian processes, gold processes that form part of a channel. We can't do anything with uranium. Well, we can't. Let's for now, for the next 20 years, Namibia does not have the budget. We don't have the skills. We don't have the technology. We don't have the money to deal with the uranium. We don't. So, yeah. Admit defeat when defeat is obvious, guys. Let the Chinese have the uranium. In terms of that, they pay the taxes relevant to whatever deal that exists there. There's nothing we can do. It's uranium. If you try to enrich uranium, you are going to draw the attention of the United States, who already has got... Well, if you had to think about the U.S. is like this child in a, you know, you guys all know on in schoolyards, you've got the child that always thinks that you're speaking bad about them or gossiping about them, but you actually said nothing about this child. And this child has an issue with you, but this child is bigger than you also, so you can't actually defend yourself. So the moment we start processing uranium in Namibia, the United States will ask us, what are you doing? What are you busy with? Do you want to build nuclear bombs? That's the first question they will ask you. Are you enriching for nuclear weapons? Why? And I love Namibia as it is, guys. I don't want the Americans here, in all honesty. I love them in their own small capacity here as an embassy, you know, peaceful and all that. I love them as they are right now. I don't want extra attention. I don't want that. So, let the Chinese have the uranium. There's nothing we can do. We can't do anything with that stone. With that, it's not a stone, it's a metal. We can't do anything with that metal. We cannot. But there's a lot we can do with gold. There's a lot we can do with tin. Forget about the oil, guys. Just give up. At the rate at which the green hydrogen is going to move, for sure, manufacturing will see a major boost. It would have been lovely to see manufacturing being boosted actually in the agricultural sector. Well, I know there is already a sense there because of you have abattoirs. Then you have meat processing plants, like the likes of like Hartleaf and I think Windhoek Slachterij. I don't know if Windhoek Slachterij still exists. But a meat processing plant generates other meat products, like cold meats, like polonies, as well as also your normal meat cuts with packaging and, you know, the relevant value additions. But that's one side. And obviously you've got the milk and the yogurt and the cheese productions going on. But the value addition needs to, or the manufacturing component needs to start somewhere else. That's why I believe, and I still believe this mantra, and I still believe this, for those guys that know how to build a car, if you know how to build a car, you don't need to work by the Euro NCAP standards of car safety. I don't even think we need four doors. Just build something. Build your own engine. Just build something. Don't worry, the state will fund you. They will. But build something. Just build something. Now, I haven't finished up with our discussion because we still have to get back to the trade statistics scenario. There's only a minute and a half left of tonight's session. And ultimately, what you've got to look forward to in terms of making the overall, and I mean this, the overall repo rate affordable is all about the amount of manufacturing that can be produced. Yes, guys, make underwear. Yes, guys, make toothpicks. Yes, guys, try to build an engine. Research and development. Do that. Do that. The more jobs the manufacturing sector will create and generate, obviously will lead to one or other kind of a form of resilience within the Namibian economy. It will. But whatever you do, if we need to go in this direction, understand that this is the scenario that will allow us to uncouple from South Africa. This is the scenario. Or, I'm not even getting a little bit excited. We will have to find a way of emulating New Zealand. Why I say New Zealand? New Zealand is the only country in the world that is a first world country, meaning it has very strong economic presence, very good economy. But it's all its economic strength comes from its agricultural sector. All. Its agricultural, its economic strength comes from its agricultural sector. Remember, all its economic strength comes from its economic, comes from its agricultural sector. Why not? Why not? We already have the agricultural sector. We already can try and do something there. Sky's the limit, guys. And that is potentially, if you create the value addition there, it'll potentially try and alleviate the pressures that come, for example, from the risk aversion scenario from the central, from the commercial banks. But on that note, it brings us up to the end of today's session of the Business and Economic Zone. Let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow, guys. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming right after this break.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.